episodes are new today, at least 4 times a day. And I was like, oh, I gotta go back in time.
How much pleasure can one man handle?
I wouldn't get my hopes up over that job. Why? You think you gonna get it? I have about as much chance as you, brother. And that's zero. But whoever gets this gig as assistant art director has to deal with several accounts that I'm not so sure about.
No blacks?
By Jove, I think he's got it.
I mean, if I was president of a big company and I was dealing in Arab oil, I wouldn't hire a dude named Sam Ginsburg.
Now I know he's got it. If you were captain of a sinking ship and you had room on your lifeboat for only one more, who would you give the seat to? A black man or a white man?
Well, according to you, that would never happen.
Why you say that?
Because they'd never make one of us captain.
Every time he wasn't around, there I was.
Blame that on me.
Black man, you didn't ask me to be your labor coach. Hey, all those trips to the baby store, remodeling your apartment, building the little crib. Huh? I'm not walking away from that. Not all of that. Hey, we acted just like that child was ours.
I didn't use you. It's not like I promised you anything. What?
Well, not in so many words.
No, what is it you want from her, man?
I want my daughter.
Look, I was honest with you. I tried to always make sure you knew where I stood.
What did you stand half an hour ago, huh? When I proposed to you. You know where I stood? You know where I was coming from? I was on cloud 9.
Oh, no. Huh?
I said, hey, no. Lucas, man, you're on top of the world.
Oh, no.
Huh? You got a wife, you got a baby, a family. Mm-hmm. I was the happiest man in the world. You know what I'm saying?
It's rough, man. I know it's rough.
You know. You know nothing.
You ain't bad. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing.
I'm getting text messages already. Richard Lawson is indeed Richard Lawson. And I just thought I'd take you back in time a little bit because you've been around for a while and your career is magnanimous because nobody really, like, it's a blessing and absolutely almost miracle to be around as long as you've been around in the business working diligently.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, that is, it's 50 years being in this business.
And, wow.
And this funny thing is that I have been on vacation for 50 years.
That's beautiful.
I swear, is like I have been living my dream for 50
living
years.
Living your best life.
I'm living my best life.
Do you remember anything about the good times or even All My Children?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's something you know about you remember about good times that you could share with us fans, because I'm a huge one?
Well, first of all, you know, it was landmark. You know, it was like I got into business in 1969, there was none of this that existed. So these shows came late 70s, and I don't even know the year that Good Times came about.
75.
But for those 5 years, it looked like we were on a desert. You know, there was no, you know, oases out there because it wasn't really that much on TV, mm-hmm. and it wasn't that much in film. And so that was during the period of the so-called blaxploitation movement. So when those shows came about, it gave a lot of actors who happened to be black opportunities to work. And I remember working on that show with people that I really respected, you know, John Amos and those other fine actors that worked on the show, and it was really a lot of fun. And the people that produced that show were the producers of a number of shows. I worked with them. I did All in the Family,
right.
An episode of All in the Family, which is hilarious.
Good Times is known for like hiring people 2 and 3 times. Did you work on Good Times more than that one episode?
No, just that one episode.
Okay.
Because he only had that one dream.
I just figured you'd come back as somebody else because they did that a lot back then. There were no black actors in the 70s because they repeated the same actors. I'm like, wait, she was just the mama.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The people who worked a lot, they worked regular, you know, and then it was hard to crack through. Now, the irony about All My Children was that my mother had just died. Oh. And I buried my mother. As a matter of fact, I had just buried my mother the day before. And I flew back because I had to work.
Wow.
And I did that scene you know, still.
Oh, my.
And so after I walked out of the room, because, you know, it's one take and you move on.
Yeah.
I walked out of that room, closed the door, and then it hit me. And I fell to the floor just grieving like you wouldn't believe. And I was starting to grieve through the scene. So a lot of that grief wound up in the scene and coming through the emotion in terms of
the playing. Oh, we could see that. We could clearly see the grief.
Sherry was looking at me like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I just worked with Sherry the other day. She is the nicest. She's so kind. And
Sherry is the sweetest.
Yeah, she really
is. Person. She's the sweetest person. And I have known Sherry for, so many years now. But she's always been one of the sweetest and one of the most talented that most people don't even know all the talent that she has.
Well,
she's
that's
also
because
one of the funniest.
That's because she's so beautiful.
Oh, my God.
You're like, oh, talent. What? We don't know looking for. She's just gorgeous.
Yeah,
you
know? Just let me look at you.
Yeah, yeah, right. For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, who was in that All My Children scene with Richard Lawson was Sherry Headley. And you may know her best from Coming to America.
Exactly.
As the one who ended up marrying
She can damn near play the same part because she's just still that beautiful.
Right. And you also have acting classes. I don't know that. It seems like everyone that I know that have gone to your school, it seems like a disservice to consider it an acting class.
Mm.
So I don't know what I would call it.
Well, what it is on the surface, it's an acting school, but underneath the hood, it is an empowerment academy.
Ah,
you know, I empower people to achieve their dreams. And see, and some of those dreams happen to be actors and directors and writers, but so many other people come to my school because the basis of my school is people connecting with their purpose.
Yes.
I could teach people the techniques of acting, but if they don't know what they want or where they're going, or they don't have a vision about, you know, their dream and what it is, and we don't put it into a form where they are clear about what they're doing every day, it's sort of like being a car, a race car, in the driveway with the engine running and you're just revving the engine. Right. You need to know where you're going, so you need to have a map.
So we are talking to Richard Lawson. I know you're not here for that, but we're going to talk about what you're here for a little later in the show.
Okay.
So hopefully I got you for a little bit. I got to get a little music right
I'm
now.
Here.
Just
we
a
can,
little music, you
we
know.
We can send out for some food and have some
Let's do that. we're going to be talking about a play that he has coming to his theater, the Waco Theater, and I definitely want to talk about that.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that shortly. Here's Drake, Michael Jackson.
Hey.
Lawson today on the Tevin Max Show, and it has been, the conversation is good on and off air. I hate we're not streaming because you guys would probably want to hear. Like, Richard is always dropping jewels. The first time I met Richard Lawson was Vanessa Bell Calloway and I, for those of you who remember, used to do Max Minute microphone mixers. We used to do talent showcases, or I call them artist showcases, at the Regency West. And Richard was kind enough to be one of our guests, and man, the jewels you dropped were incredible.
Really?
I'm still living off of them.
Oh, good.
I'm still living off of them. I've never been so confident about myself in all my life
until
that day that I heard you at my mixer.
Yeah.
Because you really talked about how basically life is not about the things put forth. It's about what you have inside and the confidence that you have in yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because a lot of us don't have that confidence in ourselves, especially actors, because they're judged every day by everybody.
Right.
At all times. So.
Exactly. Well, at least that is their perception, you know, in terms of the whole aspect of being judged. But if you can turn that around and really understand that, you know, it's really about your own image of yourself and what you deliver. I don't care what you think about me, I can't control. But what I think about me, I can control.
Mm.
And that's really where it is, you know, me to really be in touch with what I feel about myself.
You're pretty in control of your life right now. You know, you got a wifey and you two are together and you've got the Waco Theater together.
Yes.
That was quite a venture to have with your new wife. Not so new, but 2015, you and Tina Knowles got married.
We did. But the one thing you have to know about that is that we've known each other for 39 years.
No one knew that, Richard.
Yeah, see, so...
no one had that information.
So Tina was my sister's best friend.
Really?
And yeah, and when I met her, she was pregnant with Beyonce, so it may be 30 to 38 years old.
What?
But yeah, and I met this... one of the most beautiful women I had ever seen, and this gentle, beautiful spirit.
39 years ago,
and this giving soul. She was married, but she
you was just praying on that divorce.
No.
Like, I know he gonna do wrong. Let me just wait in the cut.
That's funny. That's a long time to wait.
That's when you really want somebody.
You gotta have patience for that. But we had a mutual respect and appreciation for each other because we were both givers and caretakers, and we both helped people, and we both had a similar mission, so that when we got together, it was really an organic kind of thing because she wanted to create something like that in Houston, and I'm here, and that's what I'm about. So us getting together and creating the Waco Theater Center, which stands for Where Art Can Occur, was a natural extension of really what our whole lives have been about. Mm-hmm. And we're fortunate enough to have had really great lives separately.
Yeah.
And we know how to live. And so, you know, what else is there except to share this and share this knowledge? You can't keep it unless you give it away. And so we are about giving it away, you know what I mean? And at the same time, be able to enjoy, you know, we love dancing. Most people can't hang with us. You know, we go right over here to the new townhouse. I'm going to give them a plug.
I think I saw y'all at Maverick's Flat one night, too.
That was a birthday years ago. So, you know, we stay right where we know. Like you say, you black 365 right. days a year, and sometimes 366 on those leap years.
Right.
So are we. She's probably the blackest person I know.
I thought that maybe you gave, like, when we see you all as a couple,
yeah.
I think the public has never seen Tina Lawson out so much than when she got with you.
Right.
And so I was like, Richard, you know, keeping her hood, real hood. Cause you know, like you said, you at Maverick's Flat, you at the townhouse. I'm like, what? Beyonce mama at the townhouse. What is that? So are you encouraging her to be more a part of the community, or is that her?
Well, she's always been a part of the community. That's where she's rooted. I have probably been influential in getting her out, and, you know, because she was always behind the scenes, even though she was very much at the foundation of what was Destiny's Child and Beyonce as we know her, but and very, very strongly, you know, a part of that. She was always behind the scenes. Now, you know, you can look at her Twitter account and say she's not shy.
No.
You know, sometimes...
We listen to her corny jokes. We play them on the air.
Okay.
We play her corny jokes on the air.
Well, she's found that. No, I think she's found a freer kind of spirit, and maybe I've had some influence in the freeing of her spirit, which I'm happy about because it's just great to be happy. You know,
I have to ask the question that a ton of people were calling us about and asking us about... back when it happened, you guys were on Black Love, I think it was.
Yeah.
And social media went crazy.
Crazy.
Because of some things that she said about you.
Yeah.
And they were honing in on your face, Richard Lawson, yeah. going, right. he mad, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that brother right there, he hurt. She just told him down.
I know. So
can you like talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, she said that. And when I asked the question, it was really facetiously, what you mean, I'm not perfect? Come on, who the hell think, can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Who the hell would think that they're perfect? I know I'm not perfect. I'm the most imperfect person in the world. But it was just me pushing the envelope on that. And in her reaction to it, I reacted to it. And look, I act for a living.
That is
and,
what you do.
And that's what
Very
I did.
Well.
And evidently so well that it was like... 500,000 yes. shares, you know, and they chimed in and
yeah,
said,
"Yeah, they lamb blasted."
Oh, she dissed him in front of the public, and
this
you
is
know.
Why black men don't like black women. Like, I mean, it went
viral.
To a whole nother level.
It was viral. Yeah. It was like ridiculous.
Did you expect it to happen? Like, did you expect there to be a little bit of controversy behind Tina Knowles saying, well, he's not perfect. And then you were like, I'm not.
I didn't because it was done in the spirit of fun and we just played it out. I did. I played it out. But when it went there, it was like, what? And I wasn't about to jump in the fray and kind of knock it down because my policy is like, don't deny and don't reply. That's Jacqueline Kennedy.
I'm gonna keep that
nugget. Don't deny and don't reply.
You said it's Jacqueline Kennedy?
She created that.
Really? Yeah. Don't deny and don't reply.
Exactly.
Or you can just keep it to don't reply.
Don't reply. For what? Because all I'm going to do is just continue the narrative.
Right.
And it's not, and with social media, you know, people can hide behind their viewpoint because no one's ever going to see them. And I mean, you know, it's brought rise to a lot of, you can look on both sides, you know, in terms of it gives cowards a chance to speak and it gives people a voice. So it has positives and negatives. And I'm not going to fuel the fire with jumping in and trying to explain some stuff.
Yeah, because then they'll be like, well, he hurt because he explained it himself. Yeah, anything. Yeah. Okay, well, it's good you guys have lasted through that trauma in your marriage.
It was a trauma for everybody else. It wasn't a trauma for us.
Y'all probably sipping wine and laughing. Oh, look at this reply, honey.
Look, here, you know, Tina scrolls down and she gets into it.
Uh-huh.
I understand. I learned a long time ago. Don't scroll down. There's nothing but misery below.
Well, there is no misery in what the Waco Theater is doing right now. 1970, Ben Vereen and Philip Michael Thomas came together to do a play called No Place to Be Somebody.
Right.
And you were also a part of that original production. And now you've brought the production to the Waco Theater.
Yes. In 1970, which was the first play that I ever did, professional play that I did, the three of us joined the national company of the original play. Chuck Gordone directed us in No Place to Be Somebody in San Francisco. The original company, Nathan George and Ron O'Neill, you know, they won the Pulitzer Prize in 1970. They came through Los Angeles and San Francisco. We joined it in San Francisco, and then we did the play there, Baltimore and Detroit. And so it was a landmark play. It was a landmark production. And this play has lived inside of me for 50 years. And next year is the 50th anniversary. And my goal is to direct it on Broadway. So I'm putting up this play as a prototype of what will happen in New York. And there's no guarantee, but that's my desire. And so it's a great ensemble cast. We've had great audiences. We were supposed to close this weekend, but we're going to extend two weekends.
Okay.
So the first and the second, I think, and the eighth and the ninth, we're going to add two performances. But come out this weekend because I'm going into the play on Saturday.
I heard. You're playing Sweet Crane?
Sweet's Crane. I'm going into the play on 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock on Saturday. And then Earl Billings, who started playing Sweets, is doing it Friday and Sunday. And then the following weeks, I will continue doing Sweets Crane.
Nice.
It's an incredible, incredible play.
And where can we get tickets?
You can get tickets at WacoTheaterCenter.com. WacoTheaterCenter.com. Or you can call 818-400-1151.
Okay, I have some listeners who want to talk to you, so can you just stick around for maybe 5 more minutes and we can take some listener questions?
I told you, we can go get some dinner.
All right. So you can call and get those books and that free tuition at 310-233-4265. That's 310-233-4265. You got the phone lines ringing, Richard. I guess I underestimated your popularity in the city of Los Angeles.
Hey, I like that.
KJLH, what's going on? Hello?
Spencer, how you doing?
Good. Are you talking to her or me?
You're talking to you, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good yourself. I was listening to the clip when she was bringing you on, and I heard your voice. I knew who you were right off.
Oh, okay. Good to have a recognizable voice sometimes.
Yeah, I've been listening for quite a while. I was 6 years old when you first got started.
Really? Okay.
Yes, sir.
What was I, 7?
I ain't trying to tell your age or nothing, but hey, I ain't got
no. I'll be quick to tell my age. I have no shame about my age. I'm 71. I'll be 72 in a couple weeks, and on the 7th.
Yeah.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
Not even for 71. Just period. Just put a period behind that. You look amazing. Period.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's all. That's all. So did you have a question for Mr. Lawson?
No, I just wanted to say hey.
Hey, brother. Hey, come see my play, man.
You definitely will. I'll listen to where it's at. Can you give me the information one more time, please?
It's a Waco Theater Center. If you look at wacotheatercenter.com.
You got it.
Yeah, Waco Theater. Or just Google my name and it'll come up.
You got it. Keep doing what you're doing, my man.
All right, brother. If you come, let me know it was you that was on the radio.
You know that.
So you said your name is Vincent Vereen?
Paris, with the P.
Oh, okay, Paris. Okay, got you.
Keep up doing what you're doing too, Tammy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Take care, brother.
KJLH.
Yeah, I got a question I need to ask Mr. Lawson. Several years ago, he was in a plane crash, and we almost lost him. And I just want to let him know that I remember that, and I'm glad he's still here with us.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate
that.
Okay,
what's the question?
It's been a while.
the question was, how does it feel being a survivor of a plane crash? Many people don't come back from that.
Well, not many people at all come back from that. And
we were laughing because prior to the brother asking the question, we were talking about it off air. So it was just interesting that he called and asked about it.
Right. Listen, I was very fortunate to have survived where 27 people didn't and 24 people did. And as I look back at that, I think it's really one of the moments where it was one of the great lessons for me, and really helped me to sort of really get in contact, even in deeper contact with why I'm here in the first place and what I need to do with my gratitude for being spared. So Waco Theater Center is one of the reasons and one of the effects, I think, of that plane crash in terms of me knowing that with what I have and what I know, I need to share it with others.
Do you think it gave you purpose to make you do something like the Waco Theater? Did the plane crash have any kind of connection to Waco Theater, or is that out of your mind? Do you never think about that?
I never think about the plane crash, but what it helped me to do was to even become more affirmed about what I was. I've always been doing that sort of thing. It just really sort of I became myopic with it in terms of helping others.
Mm. And do you still fly?
In a second. I was on a...
Really?
We just flew back from New York, and it was really a turbulent flight. You know, Tina was afraid. But, you know, for me, I know that I have no control over what the outcome is going to be. But what I can do is be focused on whatever it is that I am doing and be present. And so, therefore, I wasn't fearful. I fly well. I don't have any fear of flying.
Amazing.
You know?
You like a superhero.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You might. Hey, look. Hey, tell Tina that when you see her.
I'll
see what she said about that.
I'll let her know. Hey, are we dealing with Luke Cage over here or what?
No, she's going to say that's a heathen right there.
So the play, No Place to Be Somebody.
Yes.
It's not a musical, it's a play.
No. It won the Pulitzer Prize as a dramatic play. And at the time it was the first black play, non-musical play, to be playing in houses of 1,000 plus seats, because it really pulled in a black and white audience. More black people came to the theater because it introduced theater to large audiences. It is a very powerful play and is still relevant today based upon the way that I directed. Especially, it's like I wanted to bring that play today because what was happening in 1969 is still happening.
So can you share with us a little bit of what it's about?
It is about Gabe Gabriel is one of the main character. He's a writer, and he says, "My name is Gabe Gabriel, to be exact." And Charles Gordon was referring to the Archangel Gabriel, who is the angel of Revelation. So this guy starts outside the play as contemporary man, and then he makes up this play as he goes along in his head. And so you see him go into the play, and he plays one of the characters. And he has about 5 poems that he does in the process, where those poems are filled with revelation.
Wow.
And so in 1969, it takes place in a bar where it truly is no place to be somebody. Each of those people in there are trying to find their way to something in life. Somebody's looking for love. Somebody's looking for redemption. Somebody's looking to be control his world, and none of them succeed.
That's interesting. You say the bar is a place to be, is no place to be somebody, but then I think about Cheers. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Exactly.
And where can we get tickets again?
You can get tickets at the Waco Theater Center, wacotheatercenter.com, or you can call 818-400-1151.
KJLH, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was just listening, and I heard about the plane crashing and it takes me back to Aaliyah. And well, not to say that. I just want to say it's a blessing that you're still here.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you're here. I would like to, I'm interested in your acting classes that you have, but at the same time, I just want to just say God bless you and your soul and whatever purpose you have, I hope.
Well, you hold on. We'll get you some information on his acting school for sure. So thank you so much for being here.
It's
been a pleasant conversation.
Delighted to be here. You have always, how long have we known each other?
It's maybe about 10 years now.
At least 10 years.
Yeah.
And you have always been a delightful, positive, up-spirited, up-toned person.
I appreciate
besides
that.
Being beautiful.
Oh, thank you so very, very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Beautiful inside and out. Thank
everybody,
you so much.
Richard Lawson. The play is this weekend, also next weekend, and you've added shows as well.
Yes.
So there are plenty of tickets for you to buy. Let me see that so I can have that, because people are going to be calling long after you leave. No place to be somebody, and you want to get your tickets from the WacoTheaterCenter.com, WacoCenterTheater.com, and it's the 50th anniversary production of this 1970 Pulitzer Prize winning drama. So that just means that it's going to be fantastic, and it's directed by Richard Lawson.
Right.
So there it is. Thank you. And send your wife our love. Is your daughter doing well? Because she's an actress, too.
My daughter is killing. You know, my daughter is my favorite actor. I'm not saying that because of...
I'm not. You're not saying that because she's your daughter.
No, because she's on Queen Sugar.
Uh-huh.
And she's an amazing talent. You know, she says so much by saying nothing.
Mm.
And that is what film acting is about. It's about what you don't say. I love watching her work.
Did you teach her? Did she go to your school?
She did not. You know, it's so interesting about being a parent. You know, she was influenced by my career, but she was not, you know, she's done her own thing. I actually put her with somebody else.
Do you remember the character she plays on Queen Sugar? Because people watch Queen Sugar.
Darla.
Okay, so your daughter is Darla on Queen Sugar.
Darla,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's the prettiest girl in Queen Sugar.
We believe you. We believe you, Dad. Richard Lawson, everybody, go see the play this weekend or next weekend at the Waco Theater. And I wish you and Tina nothing but the best with the Waco Theater. And if there's any way I can help, please feel free to text.
Thank you so much. I will.
Yeah. This album is dedicated